Welcome to the Divine Service, this beginning of the fifth week of Lent. We follow the spoken order Divine Service for Catechesis. Please note the introit and the tract before the Gospel are on the service half sheet to be prayed responsibly. Also, your bulletin and online has a schedule for all of the services during Holy Week, the special times, which ones are live streaming, and so forth. We begin with hymn 438, stanzas 1 and 2. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the week of the fifth Sunday in Lent is recorded in Genesis chapter 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his son, young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Hymn 438, stanzas 3 and 4. The epistle is recorded in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us stand to hear the Holy Gospel. Many a time they have afflicted me from my youth. Let Israel now say, many a time they have afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back, they made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous, He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Jews, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God." Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Hymn 430, stanzas 1 through 5, "My Song is Love Unknown." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." In response to this, the Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Well, what's the answer to the question? He is greater than their father Abraham. The simple answer to the question is, he is God. He is the great I Am, the eternal Son of the Father. He was sent forth from the Father's heart of love to die for the salvation of the world. We sang it in the hymn, "Yes, Father, yes, most willingly, I'll do what you command me." For he shares the Father's heart of love, self-giving love, sacrificial love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to the death of the cross. Jesus is both creator of all things, the heavens and the earth, and he is redeemer of the world. He is love, eternal love in the flesh, self-giving love in the flesh, sacrificial love. And the word by which the whole universe was called into existence is his word which gives life. Because of his death and resurrection, his word brings forgiveness, reconciliation. His word teaches us to love, to bear the cross, to suffer. His word enables us to die without fear in the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. His word is resurrection from the dead. His word gives hope and takes away the fear of death. His word is everything to us as Christians. "If anyone keeps my word," Jesus says, "he shall never see death." Oh, I know. Christians die. How many loved ones have we laid to rest in the grave? But for us as Christians, that is not the death that is an eternal death, an eternal separation from God. For us as Christians, for a time, the soul leaves the body rests in the grave, but on the last day when the trumpet sounds, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. If anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death, eternal death, death that is separation from God. That's what Jesus promises. That's what his word delivers. That is comfort. In the gospel for this week, the Jews are not very happy with Jesus, those who didn't believe in him. The anger and accusations that the Jews hurled against Jesus in today's gospel are in many ways like accusations that some pastors and those in the church are receiving today, during the coronavirus pandemic. When we hold up Christ's word as the source of life, the ultimate source of life, we're accused of being selfish and self-centered. When we preach that pestilence is used by God to call us to repentance for our sin and self-righteousness so that we cling to Christ and not ourselves, we're hated. When we preach that Christ's word and sacraments are more important and more needful for us than food and drink and clothing and shelter in this world, we're scorned for being unloving and insensitive. When we preach that holding on to life in this world as the most important thing, the way we want it to be, can become a false god, an idol, we're accused, as Jesus was, of being demonic. A young pastor lamented those accusations being hurled against him this past week. But don't misunderstand. The church loves the world, and the church cares for the world. Hospitals, nursing homes, orphanages give evidence to that. The Catechism faithfully teaches God's love for all humanity when it says under the fifth commandment, "You shall not murder," that we're not to hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. Under the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother. God has established the civil authorities not only for the maintenance of justice, but for the protection of society. And so we honor the civil authorities in preventing the spread of the virus and the loss of life. We are doing those things as much as we are able. But there are limits to what we can do. And there are also higher callings. I cannot tell you how many down through the last three decades whom I have visited in the hospital intensive care or hospital room with communicable diseases who were in need of the Lord's word and sacrament for their comfort and their salvation. And the pastor went. Taking the precautions, yes, but the pastor went. Because the end game for us in the church and for those of us who are in the ministry is finally eternal life with Christ. That's the end game. During the bubonic plague that struck Wittenberg, Germany in 1527, it was early August, the Elector of Saxony ordered the University of Wittenberg, where Luther taught, and its faculty to move to Jena. Luther and Pastor Johannes Bugenhagen and some others did not do so. Unmoved by the elector's orders or by the pleas of his friends, Luther and Pastor Bugenhagen remained in Wittenberg to minister to the sick and dying, both temporally and most especially spiritually. They ministered to those who could not leave the city, to those who had nowhere else to go, to those who were afraid. By August 19th, just 2 weeks after the outbreak, there were 18 already dead in this small town of Wittenberg. The mayor's wife died almost in Luther's arms as he was ministering the comfort of the gospel to her. Katie Luther was pregnant. Two other women were sick in his own home. It served kind of as a hospital and an infirmary. Hans Luther, his son, could not eat. Chaplain George Rohrer's wife, who was pregnant, became sick and lost both her baby and her own life. But through it all, Luther, Bugenhagen, and other Christians loved. They gave of themselves in the temporal and spiritual care and support of the sick and dying. Some things matter more than hanging on to life itself. And that is the love that gave birth to that life. So it is in the sacrifices of love where we give of ourselves to another, as Jesus gave his life for us, that life has its ultimate meaning and purpose and significance. It's what brings peace to our lives. We must never forget that as Christians, we believe in the greatest act of sacrificial love when the Son of God gave his life so that we might live. Faith, hope, and love. Faith in Christ. The hope of the resurrection of the body to eternal life with Jesus. And love. The love of God that is unfathomable, that he would give his only begotten Son to the death of the cross for us poor, miserable sinners. These three are the greatest things, but the greatest of them is love. And these are not empty words. These are true. One of the benefits of times like these is that we are taught what these words really mean. No, Jesus is not a demon, as the Jews accused him of being. That happens quite often to the church as well. We are sometimes accused of being what our enemies really are. Satan is our real enemy. Not the world or the unbeliever or those who are overcome with terrible fear. Satan is our enemy. Jesus called Satan in the gospel for today the father of lies and a murderer from the beginning. What does that mean? He's the father of lies, and he murders by words. Satan promises in his words a life, happiness, health, and prosperity that does not lead to true life, not life with God, not eternal life, not real fulfillment. What he promises in his words are lies. They're empty. What he offers leads to death that is far worse than any physical death, where our soul is temporarily separated from the body, only to awake in the great resurrection on the last day to immortality. What Satan offers always bends us in to ourselves, to the worship of self, to pride and arrogance, to the kind of hatred that you see spewed out at Jesus in the Gospels by those Jews who didn't believe in him. I mean, the man who healed the sick, raised the dead, comforted the despairing is called Satan. What Satan offers leads to a death that separates us from God. But what Christ gives to us through his word transcends life, a life that is greater than mere physical life, a life that is victory over death in the grave, a life that is eternal, a life that is anchored in the sacrificial love of God in Christ, who offered his life in death so that we might live. This is the life that the prophet Job, when he was hanging on to life by a thread, saw when he confessed, "I know that my Redeemer lives." This is the life that Father Abraham saw, the life of Christ, the life that was the culmination of every promise of the gospel in the Old Testament prophetic scriptures, the life of the great I Am, the eternal Son of the living God, the life that was fulfilled in Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection from the dead, the life that reconciled us to God in Christ, the life that is God's love, the life that saves, raises the dead, and gives eternal life, where the present sufferings of this life, no matter how horrible they are, will never be worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us in Jesus. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. This is the life that Jesus promised Mary and Martha when tears were flowing down their cheeks at the death of Lazarus. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." That's the life that we want, the life that is found only in Christ. Jesus said, "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Oh, we will die physically, but that physical death is temporary, and we will rise bodily on the last day. That's why we are continuing to have services, because his word gives life. To broadcast services over the internet, to distribute CDs of services to those who are in isolation at home and have no other access to Jesus' word. That's why we will visit the sick and dying and care for the forsaken and the lonely. That's why we encourage you to take up the congregation at prayer with your family. Use this time of being safer at home to be safer in the word of your Savior. You have perhaps more time now than you've ever had before. To keep his word is to trust it, to receive it, to love it, to learn to believe that his word gives life and a peace which transcends all human understanding, real life, eternal life, and the promise of the resurrection, because his word joins you to him who gave himself for the life of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us stand for prayer. Glory and honor, praise and thanks be to you, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for all the mercy and faithfulness you have shown to your congregation. Your word has not returned to you void, but you have here gathered a people who know and fear your name. Bless your word in times to come, that it may preserve the faithful in your grace, convert those who do not yet belong to you, bring back the erring and straying, gather your people as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and shelter your congregation with your love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, give us grace to trust you during this time of illness and distress. In mercy, put an end to the plague that afflicts us. Grant relief to those who suffer and comfort all who mourn. Sustain all medical personnel in their labors and cause your people ever to serve you in righteousness and holiness. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our brothers and sisters celebrating baptismal birthdays. Ava D'Amato, Linda Milos, Walt Wilms, Chase and Nora Gallus, Jackie Klug. Grant them the promise of your word that they may be faithful unto death and so receive the crown of life. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks to you for the gift of holy matrimony and for your grace which has sustained Randy and Pam throughout the years of their wedded life. Keep them faithful to you, that bearing witness to the love of their Savior, many more might come to know your great love and mercy. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you are the great physician of body and soul. You chasten and you heal. Into your hands we commend our brother Jeremy, suffering with ALS, infant Mason Perez awaiting a heart transplant, Walter Schmudlock with an inoperable tumor, David Berger in rehab for a brain injury, Diane Canapi's father Don in hospice care, Kurt Scheller and Joan Lundberg also in hospice care. Comfort them with your grace, bring healing according to your word, strengthen them, and grant them your peace. Lord, in your mercy. O most loving Father, you want us to give thanks for all things, to fear nothing except losing you, and to lay all our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. Strengthen our faith in Christ. Grant that the fears and anxieties of this mortal life may not separate us from your love shown to us in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We sing the final two stanzas of hymn 430. You may be seated. Let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in mercy, you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you. body of Christ given for you. The 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 blood of Christ shed 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 for you. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you, body and soul, in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Hymn 431, Not All the Blood of Beasts.
But Christ the